My text is in the Gospel according to John, and the third chapter, and verse 7 in particular. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. We have before us here an interview with one man. And if I may start with an introduction, my second church was in the country, in the mountains, and a lovely village it was then, and a very friendly community. And I learned a big lesson there, and it was a strange one. The attention they gave to the individual. Now, if you had a funeral for, say, an ordinary little man who had very little money, or even one who just wandered about the place, or for one of the richest farmers, the large church would be packed for both. And that amazed me. Each person was regarded with the same value and the same love. Now, I'm not running at all on old people's homes, but nobody from our village went to an old people's home. The streets were narrow, that's true. If you open your front door, you can see to the front door of the other. They cared for one another. And if a farmer was in hospital for a considerable time, the other farmers would divide their time, 2 hours, kind of since, and do the work for him. And so for some of them, their farm was kept going for 2 or 3 years whilst they were recovering. It was an amazing thing. And I learned a great deal by that, to respect personality and the individual. The same I learned in college when that gentleman said, the quiet of the land. I thought, they are my people. And then I saw and noticed more in the Bible. As our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, he gives his undivided attention to ordinary people. He seems to concentrate on nobodies most of the time. Lepers, blind people, sad people, people no one wanted to know. Yet he would stop and help them and see to their needs. He seemed to concentrate a great deal. He spoke to others as well. We know that. But it seems to be that there are so many of them where he showed kindness and mercy to the individual. When he said to that man, canst thou believe? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He would speak most kindly and most mannerly. But here is an interview with a man. He is not poor, I don't think he is. I believe he was a very nice man. By that, I would say, the way he addresses Jesus, he is mannerly, he is courteous. Now, many of the Pharisees, as we know, were so vindictive and so difficult and awkward and trying to trap him all the time, but not this man. He was a Pharisee, not this man. He addresses our Lord in a most gracious way. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he was quite somebody amongst them. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, the way he speaks is very moving. I know we can be critical about the time that he came, but nevertheless, there's something very gentle and gracious there. Now, the issue here will be the kingdom of God, a kingdom that can never be shaken. It doesn't belong to any nationality. It's for all people. But we have to have a special relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ to belong to that kingdom. But its fullness is the everlasting kingdom in glory. Now, shall I begin by asking you, are you going there? Have you an assurance in your heart that when the time comes, whatever age you are, this is your hour? This is God's time for you. And would you say, well, when that time comes, I shall have to do some desperate plans to see, is there a way of being accepted by God? Or are you already saying, yes, that is my destination. That is where I am going. And we love to live. It would be unnatural to say we don't like to live. We love to be with our loved ones, our families. Of course we do. And we are not in a hurry to leave them. But when God comes, we do not argue with him. In fact, you cannot argue with him. It's so very final and so strong. Well, here we have a lovely description. Peter describes heaven like this: to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There have been some lovely things on the media with the things that we have as Welsh people. In the summer we have an Eisteddfod. It's a very wonderful institution. We have the international one in Llangollen. But we have one for young people. Round about 150,000 to 200,000 young people go to it. And some very lovely activities. And you look at their faces, they're young. They look so lovely. But I don't think any one of them would know what a Sunday school is. There aren't any. 3,000 churches are closed. You know, you think of that. The Wales I knew as a child is not the Wales of today. And in one way, I feel a stranger in the land that I love. An enemy hath done this. And we long for that delight that there used to be in verses like an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And remember also the conversation of the revival people and their loveliness and their love of God and their perseverance. And strange, you know, if you told them you've been converted, this may sound a little discouraging. They would say, yes, I'm very glad, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. They had seen many false professions, but they knew that the real ones would always last. Now here we have a seeker. I don't know if he's shy. I don't think that. I think there's a little fear here. We are afraid of our peers. For example, one of my grandchildren in the north of Wales has come to the Lord. And he said to me, I do not think that there is anyone else in my school, a very large school, that believes. And so you can imagine the reaction. You want to please your peers, and you don't like their disapproval. Many people hold back because they fear the mockery of their friends. But here you have a man. I wonder why he came at night, the seeker. The story of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. His desire to see Christ. Is that the desire of all of us here? The desire to see Christ. But he did fear, I think, public opinion. He feared. He knew what the Pharisees were like. He knew how vicious they were. And he knew how they would go for him and make fun of him, even though he was a ruler amongst them. The same came to Jesus by night. Nobody would see him. He could creep through the streets quietly to where Jesus was lodging. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. He honors him. He doesn't say, Jesus. He says, Teacher. Now, the name Jesus in itself, of course, is wonderful, exemplary. But here it would have been different because a very usual kind of name. He called him a teacher. But our Lord had never been to a college. He had no degrees. He had nothing like the knowledge, or had been taught the knowledge, that the Pharisees had done. They could say to him, Where did you learn that? Where have you been taught? Who have been your teachers? So in a sense, you can see this man honors him as a person of learning, Rabbi. Rabbi. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. That's one thing we know. You are a teacher, and you're special. You are a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God. Be with him. Now, what a difference, you know, if you knew what Welsh-speaking chapels are like and what they became. We're having a new minister. He's an MABD. The other one's only a BA. And they began to measure people by the letters after their names. And for big services, they'd have somebody, a professor, and they said, he was wonderful. We couldn't understand a word he said, but he was wonderful. He's a professor, you know. That's how they measured people. But not this man. He honors him. We know that thou art a man come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So we now know why Nicodemus is there. He wanted to meet a man who knew God and whom God honored. Our Lord knew his heart and knew the real question. He's not really talking about miracles. You see, this is wonderful about our Lord. We know what he knew was in the heart of man. He answers him an unspoken question. Because Nicodemus never asked. But Jesus said to him, Jesus, after he'd said, you're a man come from God, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I know, Nicodemus, you want to know about the kingdom of God. It's in your heart. That in itself is wonderful. And our Lord knows the questions of our hearts. He knows everyone here. We're all different. We're all individuals, and he knows the pain of our hearts, the joy of our hearts, the questions of our hearts, the fears of our hearts. Everything is known to him. He knew Nicodemus. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see, let alone enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is taken by surprise. But he knew that he lacked something. I think all of you who are Christians here tonight must have had a time before you came that you couldn't put your finger on it, that there was something missing, and you could not name it or say what it was. But here it is named. And Nicodemus said unto him, now, I don't know how to really describe this verse. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, I don't know if he said it like that. Or Nicodemus says unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Is it a general kind of comment? I think he was embarrassed. I don't think he's being sarcastic. I think he was embarrassed. And he didn't really know what to say. He said, I don't know what you mean. I don't know what born again means. I know what being born means. I know what a little boy, a little girl being born. And I know the family and the father and mother, and they have their children. I know of the birth of children. I know that. But that can't happen a second time, surely. It can't be. So maybe it's something like that. What he's saying is, what you say seems to me impossible. Impossible. Our Lord presses the point. It's very interesting to note the way our Lord Jesus Christ handles words. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's pressing it hard. Unless you're born again, you cannot see it. He said, and certainly you cannot enter it. There would be a no entry for you. And listen, Nicodemus, I say to thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water is a sign accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord presses harder, but he does so with a heart of mercy. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, I agree with you. But, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see how hard he's really going into Nicodemus' heart and soul. That is born of the flesh is flesh. I agree with you, you can't be born like that again. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. Why are you so surprised? Do you not understand? I'm not talking about a physical birth. I'm talking about a spiritual one, to be born in a spiritual way. He is stirring Nicodemus to think, because he's a thinking man. And to think spiritually is quite easy to think logically, but to think spiritually of regeneration, of rebirth, of a spiritual birth, what is this? Then we come to the secret. Our Lord explains the work of the Holy Spirit. The sovereignty of God here. Don't leave God out. The wind bloweth where it listeth. That's verse 8. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It's a very lovely description. He's saying, you understand the wind. We often listen to the wind whistling. Sometimes a gentle breeze. Sometimes a raging gale. Sometimes from this direction and that direction. Sometimes blowing that or bending that here and there. You cannot see it. But you know it's working. It's invisible. And despite the fact it's invisible, you can see that tree bending. Why is it bending? Because the wind is blowing on it. You cannot see it. Neither can you predict. Or if you go on a bigger scale altogether, I don't know if any of you have been in the United States when there's a tornado. I have. And they put on the television screen, tornado alarm. Meaning, that in your state there's a tornado. It gives you the speed of the circling round and its direction. And then there comes on the screen, tornado warning. And everyone goes to their basements or a shelter. The night I was there, it happened. It lifted one house completely up, but nobody could see what was holding it, and carried it to a lake, and the five people inside, or eight people inside, were drowned. I said, but there was nothing there. Why did that happen? It was the wind. It was the wind. The Holy Spirit can bow great, strong men. The Holy Spirit can breathe on an evil, wicked man and turn his direction. The Holy Spirit is sovereign. If you saw the track of a tornado on the television, that way, that way, that way, that way, and it seems to be so indiscriminate, you cannot tell, neither can you tell about the sovereignty of God in the Holy Spirit and the visit. It's according to his own will. He is able when he visits a soul. Supposing now we are talking and we believe that in the preaching of the word that the Holy Spirit is there. And it may be in a general way, but then it might go to somebody on that side. One person and the person next feel nothing. Or this side. But the next person feels nothing. Or a husband and a wife, and to one and not to the other. Yet next time to the other. He's sovereign. He will go where he wills according to the sovereign will of God. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So the kind in a way, here's a person, and the Spirit goes there. You do not feel it or see it, but its effect will be felt. In our hearts, death rules. The principle of eternal death. Then this is replaced by the power or the principle of life. And also in preparation, saving faith and regeneration are ready for a certain time to come into action. And it enables the soul to understand the gospel. You can listen to the gospel and you can be, say you're a person, a young man or woman or old, it doesn't matter, and listen to it and understand it in a way, but afterwards say, well, I don't get it. I don't get it. They really don't understand it. And we must not condemn them for that, because it's a strange gospel. It only becomes simple when your eyes are opened. That's when it becomes simple and straightforward. I'm sure you, like myself, when I was saved, when I was back in my hometown in Lancashire, and in the Welsh chapel there, and I still like hymns on judgments, of all things. And my friend by my side, I kept poking him. Look, look, look. And he said, what are you poking me for? He didn't see it. He didn't see it. He opens our eyes. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Oh, I can imagine him saying that. I like Nicodemus. I can almost feel him saying it. Oh, Lord, how can these things be? How can this happen to me? How can these things be? I'm steeped in the law. In a way, I know everything and I know nothing. And Jesus answered and said unto him, well, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Come on, Nicodemus. You're a religiously educated man. You know the Testament, the Old Testament, you know it all. You know the law. and all the intricacies of that, you know all that, and you tell me that you don't know what I'm talking about? How is it possible that a man steeped in religion, and sincerely in your case, and yet you do not know what I'm talking about? I've told you earthly things and you believed. How shall I tell you of heavenly things? Now he does. The Saviour directs his mind. In John 3:13, "And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." So he describes himself. Yes, you're quite right. I come from God. You're quite right. Now comes the enlightenment. Comes directly from heaven through Christ to Nicodemus. He describes the gospel. And he gives him an Old Testament illustration, because they would know their Bible, the Old Testament. And I don't know if you know much about Jews, but they don't read little fairy stories to their children. They read the accounts of the Old Testament and the dealings of God with his people. So they are really thoroughly taught in that way. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now remember now, Nicodemus has been enlightened. You know about Moses at the time, and he had all that trouble, and those little scorpions and whatever they were stinging people, they were dying. And you know what Moses, God told him to make a serpent and lift it up, and if they looked, they lived. Yes, I know that account. Of course I know it. I'm a Pharisee. Of course I know it. Even so must I, the Son of Man, be lifted up. He understood. He understood that it was Calvary or the cross. In both cases, there is death involved. The serpent's physical death. Moses lifted up the brazen serpent, but here we are dealing with spiritual death and the sacrificial death of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, a sinless Saviour, just without, he knew no sin. Never into his mind did a sinful thought come. He knew no sin. In his mind and his heart was perfect purity. And such a one has lived in this miserable little planet that we're living in. Such a one has lived and moved amongst people, pure, pure. Everything we know is tarnished. But he does something special. He was willing to do something. In his life, he fulfilled the Ten Commandments for you and for me. We can't. We can't, because we are sinful. But he does it for you. In his death, he takes what we deserve. The cross is not only the Son of God bleeding and dying. It's not only the suffering that was physical and dreadful to behold, but also God, who loved him, strikes him with a great blow. It is the penalty for sin. To make it real, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then he goes to Psalm 22, if you remember. We know that it had to be. There had to be a penalty paid in full. And the suffering on the cross is equal to hell for all of us. It is indescribable. That's the cross of Christ. And when we come to him, when we come, it is a wonderful miracle that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So somebody should ask you, what will happen to you? I will not perish. I'll have eternal life. Where did you get eternal life? From him. From the altogether lovely one. On our parts, those two little gifts are activated. Repentance. Sorrows of the heart, tears of the heart, and turning to God. Oh God, oh God, receive me. And a faith that is absolutely indestructible. And that goes to Christ. It goes to Christ. It's as if he said, my child, you're clean. You're clean now. Go in peace. And I'll see that you get safely home one day. All this is a work of the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, we want that. I don't want the grave to be my end. Do you? Or worse than the grave? I don't want to be hell my destination. Do you? We might say, well, I postpone it. You cannot do that. Because once it comes from your mind and understanding, you know, call on the Lord while he is near. You can't just say, God is at your beck and call. Only on certain times he draws near. Then if he draws near and near and you ignore, you never notice him anymore. You become immune. A sacrifice of a cruel death. He shed his precious blood. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. For so our journey to heaven is established. What happened to Nicodemus? Have you ever thought about that? I wonder. In John 19, verse 39, and there came also Nicodemus, and to make sure we understand, it's a common name, which at the first came to Jesus by night. So we're quite clear who he is. And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight, to embalm the body of Christ. He had arrived. I don't know along the line where he had believed, but somewhere along the line, Nicodemus had come. What about you? What about me? What about all of us here? Will you arrive safely, safely delivered, safe and sound? And you know, when you get there, shall I tell you who meets you? A little errand angel. Oh no, this is the amazing thing. God. God. And we are told what he does. Come here. Let me wipe those tears away. There are no tears here. Come here. There's no pain of mind or heart here, or hunger or thirst. This is your home. Jesus had said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. What is your story? Will you arrive? Will you arrive safely? Will the gates be open for you? And God stretching his arms to receive you. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. My desire is that all of us here, and many more to come, will tread that road, that God is the end of our journey. Now shall we pray? Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank that we can come to Thee in our Saviour's name, and we worship Thee, and we do. We thank Thee, O Lord, in this confusing world that we're living in, and the chaos, O Lord, and the scattering also of many things that we knew. O Father, we thank Thee that there is a solidarity in being on that foundation of Christ. We thank Thee. There is joy in our hearts that even when we are suffering physically or sorrow, whatever it may be, we still joy in God. Even though we may naturally be grieving about something, we still joy in God. Bless the old here tonight. Bless the middle-aged here. Bless the young. Bless us all, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Amen.